Chapter 16. Amriel and I decided the quickest way to the Dolrath territory was best, with Ursinger's men still looking for me in the Yeni territory and the Shadow Demon lurking around the Dolrath lands. Both ways were pretty dangerous, but the southern tunnels at least had the virtue of being somewhat quicker. "Do you know a way to the encampment that doesn't take us closer to the water?" I asked the Zhenkari woman as we came out into the alcove of the southern iron door. Since the lesser demon sticks close to water, I figure if we can avoid the river and the lakes, it would be safer.
"It's possible,"
Amrila mused and cocked her head in thought.
"But it would involve going through the uninhabited parts of the territory. If we leave the road, then the terrain will be rougher. Not to mention that we might come across scavenger beetles, nyctors, or other creatures."
"There are nyctors in the Dolrath lands?" I asked with surprise. "I don't think we've seen any either time we've been down here."
"Many of them probably went to the Yeni territory once Ursinger elevated them."
The horned woman shrugged as she adjusted the old Bulgarian AK on her shoulder. Amrila still wasn't used to carrying the rifle, and her discomfort showed in her stiff and stilted movements. Not that she would ever admit to feeling uncomfortable.
"But the Dolrath still hate them,"
the red-skinned woman continued.
"So if there are any stragglers down here, I'm sure they stay well hidden. Still, if we got too close to their cave, one might attack, which means we need to be wary."
"I'm not really worried about a stray nyctor." I shook my head and gave an indifferent shrug, especially with both of us armed. "Unless there's some other creature in the territory more dangerous than a lesser demon."
"None that I know of,"
Amrila replied before she shot me a sly smirk.
"Nothing you can't handle."
"Well," I sighed and squared my shoulders. "And from what I've put together, the encampment is west and just a little south of here."
"That's right,"
the horned woman nodded.
"We'll have to cross the river eventually, but the encampment will be right across from the river at that point."
"Following you, partner." I winked at the red-skinned woman playfully.
"You just want to stare at my ass,"
she accused, but a grin tugged at her plump red lips. "Well, yeah," I said with an impish smirk. "But you're also more familiar with these caves. It's a win-win." The Zhenkari woman and I continued to banter as we set out west from the alcove, into the wild parts of the cavern I hadn't seen yet. We weren't traveling long before there was a strange, multi-hued glow just ahead. Then we came around an outcropping, and I saw the outer edges of the crystal forest for the first time. Amrila and I moved up the rough path of a rise and into the growth of huge, glowing crystalline pillars. It was actually a great deal like a house of mirrors, mixed with some kind of weird alien forest that looked like something out of a sci-fi movie. Massive spikes of semi-translucent stones jutted up out of the ground, with smaller crystal spikes growing off them. The crystals seemed to glow with an inner light, and as the red-skinned woman and I walked through the forest, I could almost feel the small hairs on my body stand on end in response to an unseen energy. "This is incredible," I breathed as we followed the paths between the stones. "It must have taken these crystals centuries to grow this big."
"These aren't like other gems,"
Amrila said over her shoulder.
"They grow much faster than quartz or garnets. Some have said that if the Dolrath didn't have people to harvest them, they would take over the whole cavern within a few years."
"Why not just cut them back and make a bunch of magical shit with the powder then, like the dwarves did for my ammo?" I asked as we passed a large growth of crystal spikes that glowed gold like the lanterns in the dwarven tunnels. "The Dolrath wouldn't have to kowtow to the Yeni if they had a fuckload of magical weapons."
"The crystals are living things,"
Amrila said, and I could see the far edge of the growth just ahead of her.
"If you cut them back too far, they die. And I'm sure the Yeni Lord loves the idea that they're the only ones with the knowledge to hold back the evils of the deeper dark over the other tribes, who are all too scared to fight for their own freedom."
I opened my mouth to respond, but as the rough path led down and out of the crystal forest, I was able to see past the glow of the stones, and I caught sight of some movement about 100 yards in front of us. "Amrila," I hissed. "Stop. I think I saw something."
"Where?"
The Zhenkari woman whispered back as she automatically assumed a defensive stance. I motioned for her to slip on her headphones, just in case, and I did the same before I took hold of my galil, but kept the barrel pointed at the ground. Then I stepped forward so Amrila was next to me, rather than in front of me. If anything popped out of the darkness, I wanted to be sure to have a clean shot. My eyes scanned the darkness and the shadows in front of us as I searched for any hint of movement among the rocks and crags. I stared hard into the darkness and started to wonder if my eyes had just been playing tricks on me. but in my bones, I could feel there was something close by. The glow of the crystals behind us did little to pierce the darkness, though, so I reached up and clicked on my headlamp.
"Do you see anything?"
Amrila asked as she squinted and shielded her face from the light with one hand. "No." I shook my head as my eyes fell on a large round boulder. "But I could have sworn..." Before I could finish my sentence, what I thought was a boulder started to move. Then, two folded wings began to unfurl, and whatever this thing was no longer looked like a rock. When the wings opened far enough, they revealed two big yellow eyes and a monstrously cat-like face that reflected the light of my headlamp. The slitted pupils contracted, and there was a hellish sound, somewhere between a shriek and a roar as the creature squinted back from the light. The sound reached a pitch that made my headphones activate, and everything fell silent for a moment. My blood ran cold as the reptilian animal unwound itself from the curled position it had been sitting in. Something about the combination of feline and lizard-like features made the beast feel wrong to me. It had a long, scaled body, wings like a dragon in a storybook, and the pointed ears and snout of a lion with no mane. "What the fuck?" I gasped as the creature stood to its full 7 feet and hissed at us.
"It's a pitworm!"
Amrila shouted.
"Shoot it!"
I didn't need to be asked twice. I raised my Galil Ace to my shoulder, lined up the red dot, and fired at the fucked-up kitty lizard's torso. The shot rang out, and my Pro-X's blocked it out, but the sound of the rifle fire caused the pitworm to jerk and recoil away. The worm was shockingly fast, but my bullet still managed to rip a hole through the creature's right wing. The beast screamed again and launched itself forward as fast as a bolt of lightning.
"Shit!"
Amrila called out and jumped out of the thing's path. I kept my red dot on the worm, stood my ground, and fired again, and this time I caught it in the right shoulder. The pitworm's body jerked as it was forced to stop about 30 yards away from me, but as I took aim again, the creature snapped its jaw filled with razor-sharp teeth and darted at me again. This time, I had to hit the ground and roll out of the way, or else I would be within reach of its long, knife-like claws. I rolled, popped back up, and wondered where the hell Amrila was now, but the worm was still much closer to me than I was happy with. Shit. I went to raise my Galil back to my shoulder, but the worm launched toward me with its front claws and raked them across my chest. The blow knocked me onto my back, which forcibly ejected the air from my lungs, but I held on tight to my rifle. "Fuck!" I gasped. I felt sharp pains when I took in a breath, and my heart felt like it was about to beat right out of my ribcage as I looked the pitworm right in its yellow eyes. As the beast reared its head back to come take a bite out of me, I pointed my rifle at its face, but before I could squeeze the trigger, my headphones cut out the shot of Amrila's AK. The worm arched its back as if it had been struck, and as the thing clawed at its back, I took my opportunity and fired several rounds into its head and chest. The monster stiffened and then fell forward on top of me. The fucker was dead. I wriggled my arms free and started to push the heavy creature off of me. Then Amrila was there and helped me move the worm until I could slide myself out from under it and roll up onto my feet. Once I was standing again, I looked down at my chest and saw the shiny metal of the breastplate Torek had given me through the long rips in my jacket. There wasn't any blood. It seemed that dwarven blacksmithing had withstood the pitworm test. I would definitely have to thank them. I slipped off my headphones and saw Amrila do the same. "Ugly shit!" I spat at the now dead beast, and then I turned to the Zinkari woman. "Thanks for the assist."
"Any time, partner,"
the red-skinned woman replied with a grin that turned teasing.
"I think we should commemorate such a job well done."
Amrila bent down and reached her hands into the worm's mouth, took hold of one of its 2-inch-long canines, and tugged it free with a wet popping sound. Then she repeated the same procedure on the other side.
"Heh."
The black-eyed woman handed me one of the teeth.
"We can each keep one, as a memento of our awesome teamwork."
"That's kind of sweet," I said with a smile as I accepted the saliva-covered tooth. "And also pretty gross."
"I'm glad you like it."
The horned woman winked.
"Shall we continue?"
The rest of the trip to the encampment was less eventful, but still difficult. Off the beaten path, we had to climb over rock falls and skirt yawning chasms, but eventually, the river that ran the length of the cavern came into sight, and the tent city was just on the other side. The Zinkari woman and I had to go downstream a little ways to find a shallow area to cross over. but soon we walked into the city of the Dolrath, looking only slightly worse for wear. Some of the Dolrath stopped to stare at Amrila and I with mild interest, while others hurried by on whatever business they had. Meanwhile, I looked around and tried to think where the best place to look for the chief's daughter would be. "Should we start at the meeting hall?" I asked the red-skinned woman.
"I guess,"
Amrila replied as she too looked around.
"But we might want to avoid her mother. I could find her while you wait in the tavern. I can move around the encampment almost unseen by myself."
"Really?" I asked with a raised eyebrow.
"Of course."
Amrila smiled slyly at me.
"It helps to have a thief as a friend."
"Just be careful," I said. "I know you're a capable woman, but it would kill me if anything happened to you."
"It would."
The red-skinned woman asked, and her black eyes softened slightly as she blinked at me. "It really would," I replied as I gently took her hand in mine. "You know how I feel about you." I held her hand like that for a fleeting moment as we looked into each other's eyes, and I could see her breathing quicken slightly by the rise and fall of her pert breasts. Then Amrila dropped her gaze and shifted on her feet like she was embarrassed, which was not a common look for the half-demon.
"I'll bring Nylame to the tavern,"
the horned woman finally muttered in a quiet voice, and she still wouldn't look at me as she pulled her hand from mine.
"It shouldn't take long."
I watched as the red-skinned woman walked away from me and into the crowd. I wasn't exactly sure how a Zhenkari would blend in when most of the citizens of the encampment were night elves, but I trusted Amrila to know what she was doing. So for now, I walked through the dirt streets of the encampment, found the large red and blue striped tent that served as the tavern, and stepped through the cloth flaps of the doors. The only truly permanent building in the city was supposed to be the meeting hall, or so I'd been told. I wasn't sure if it was a ceremonial or a cultural rule, but looking around the tavern, I could see some of the tents seemed to have permanent features. The regularly spaced poles that held up the cloth roof were anchored into the ground, and each had a ring of squared-off stones placed around their bases. The bar at the right of the tent was made of sturdy wood, with scratches and dents, some of which had been repaired at one point. That showed it, too, had been there a long time. The center of the tavern's stone floor was covered with rushes, which could easily be swept away in case of a spill, or if an overserved patron happened to vomit. So it seemed like the only thing that kept this tavern from being permanent was its lack of wooden walls. I found an open table at one of the corners of the tent, took a seat, and looked around at the other patrons. There were a lot of Dolrath warriors in their black, iridescent armor, though one table had a mix of civilian night elves and gnomes, who all seemed to be craftspeople of some kind. Eventually, one of the servers, a young gnomish man, came up to my table.
"What can I get for you, Your Majesty?"
the gnome asked in a friendly voice. The small man had long, light brown hair, curled at the ends and a round face with large hazel eyes. He wore a simple wrap shirt like the one I'd been given, but in a serviceable shade of brown, and darker brown cloth pants. "What'd you call me?" I asked with a confused frown.
"You are King Eddie of the Tektris Forest, are you not?"
The young server's eyes looked stricken, as if he were terrified he'd made a huge social mistake.
Yeah,
I replied as I remembered my alias. "I guess the word has gotten around. What would you recommend to drink?" This was a trick I'd learned from the few times I'd gone to a really nice restaurant with my rich friend Jay. If you weren't familiar with what a place served, but didn't want to look out of place, just ask the waiter to suggest something and have that.
"I could bring you some Corcus Bloom wine,"
the young gnome offered. "That sounds fine," I said with a nod. The server smiled and walked off to get my drink, so I sat back and tried to attract as little attention as possible for a human pretending to be a goblin king in a ripped jacket. But soon enough, I saw the tent flap open, and breathed a sigh of relief as Amrila poked her beautiful horned head into the tavern. The Zhenkari woman looked around, spotted me, and turned to speak to someone just outside of the tent wall. Then the red-skinned woman started to walk toward me as Nylame came in behind her, dressed in her well-fitted Dolrath armor. The two women came to sit at the table just as the gnome waiter came back with a cobalt blue bottle and a goblet on a tray, and the man's face fell when he saw the ladies.
My apologies,
the sandy-haired man said.
Should I have brought two more glasses?
No, I reassured the waiter. I didn't ask for them, but if you could bring them now, I'd appreciate it.
Of course.
The gnome bowed, set the goblet and the bottle on the table, and headed back to the bar.
Corcus Bloom wine,
Nylame said in an impressed tone.
Is this to convince me to join whatever venture your partner mentioned?
I looked over to Amrila with a raised eyebrow.
I just told her we had a request to make of her.
The Zinkari woman said as she gracefully sat down at the round table. Then yes, I guess. I smiled at the chief's daughter. Will you sit with us? Nyla May stared at me for a moment, as if considering the prospect, but then she sat down as the waiter placed the two extra goblets on the table. I took the open bottle and poured some wine for the night elf woman, then for Amrila, and the last for myself. The dark-haired elf took her goblet and took a sip, and then she closed her eyes with pleasure before she swallowed. I took a sip from my goblet also, and was immediately hit with the heady taste of pomegranate, and something almost floral. It wasn't really my kind of drink, but clearly I was supposed to act like it was something very fine, so I nodded with approval as I set my goblet back down. I'll get right to the point, I said to Nyla May, and my voice was low so I didn't draw attention. We're going after the Shadow Demon, and we thought you might want to help.
My mother is organizing a group of her finest soldiers to find and kill the beast,
the Dolrath woman replied as she studied me over her wine.
But there is a great deal of debate holding up the process. Every captain has their own opinions on the best way to kill the demon. We have a secret weapon,
Amrila interjected.
I'm sure your mother's captains are very capable, but if they're more concerned about being the man who comes up with the plan than actually protecting the Dolrath people, then they're just useless bureaucrats.
I think that, with a small force, we can find and take out the demon before anyone else is hurt, I explained as I met the elven woman's blue eyes dead on. And I'd like your help.
My mother would not be pleased.
Nyla May shook her head.
She doesn't want me risking myself by going off to hunt the creature.
What do you want to do? I asked with a meaningful look. The chief's daughter opened her mouth to say something, but then she stopped, and her deep blue eyes appeared conflicted.
You are a warrior,
Amrila said as she honed in on the Dolrath woman's hesitation.
I know. You don't want to sit on the sidelines. And besides, it'll give you a chance to test your new toy on the Shadow Demon's minions.
The Zinkari woman unstrapped the Bulgarian AK from her shoulder and held it out to Nyla May. The elven woman stared at the rifle with surprise, but I could see her hands twitching as if she wanted nothing more than to take it. It was pretty brilliant on Amrila's part to use the rifle to convince the chief's daughter to help us. I wasn't one to give such a powerful weapon away, but Nyla May was a seasoned warrior who would appreciate its destructive power, and she did seem to hate Ursinger as much as we did. And if nothing else, I could limit the amount of ammo we gave her, since nothing about the technology I'd seen in the gloom indicated she'd be able to have more made. You seemed to like mine when we fought the demon by the lake, I mentioned casually. This one's basically the same thing. If you want, I'll show you how to use it.
Really?
Nyla May breathed as her hand reached tentatively for the rifle.
Despite the boom it made, it seemed like a very fine weapon.
Amrila placed the AK in the Dolrath woman's hands, and as Nyla May looked it over, the Zinkari winked at me. You want to hold it here, I said, and I showed the elf the proper places to put her hands. And this metal piece makes it fire, so never put your finger near it unless you want to kill whatever the barrel's pointing at. I went over the four rules of basic gun safety with Nyla May, showed her how to check to make sure the chamber was clear, and how to put in and drop the magazine. The warrior woman listened intently, and she was careful to keep her hands in the correct positions and with the barrel pointed toward the ground.
I assume you have a plan,
Nyla May said as she carefully set the rifle down. I do, I nodded, but I want to be clear that I can't guarantee it's going to work perfectly.
I'll be the judge of that,
the warrior woman smirked.
Start at the beginning.